If you have your Bible and you want to turn to a scripture, turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Romans 5, verse 5. And that's where we're going to be starting. And I titled all my messages, and I started to call this one Hope, but I decided to call it Love instead. But when I look out here, I see people who need some hope in this world today. I see some people who have problems in the home. I see some people who are trying to make their way into a world that they haven't been part of for a while. I see some people with some physical problems that they are wanting to get answers to. I see some people that that maybe are struggling just with kids and with work and with trying to be a good Christian, and the world doesn't want us to be, right? So I hope this message today gives you a little bit of hope. But I'm going to say that our hope is going to have to start with love. And so that's the title of my message, is Love. And I had a preacher one time from Gravel Switch, Kentucky, that told me when he came to my ordination service, and he said, my only advice is to you is to tell people what you're going to preach about it, and then tell people what you preached about. And he said, you have to do it three times for people to get the message. So I'm going to give you an outline of what I'm going to preach about today. I'm going to tell you that love starts with God, and that God loved us when we were still sinners. And there's no way we deserved his love. So it's just a gift from God that we don't love. And his love is an agape love. It's an unconditional love. He's going to love us no matter what we do. And he's going to show us that love through his actions. But the one thing that he did do is he gave us a physical manifestation of his love through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ then gave us a commandment that takes it a step above the great commandment when he says, I want you to love one another as I love you. Now, that's a step above loving each other as yourself, right? Now, this is a sacrificial love where we give up our life for our friends. This is the greatest love. And that's going to be my message today. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse number 5, says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord, and I just pray right now, Lord, that it will not return to you void. Your word tells us that it won't, so I know it won't, Lord. But I'm afraid I might mess it up in a way where it doesn't accomplish the purpose with which you sent it forth, Lord. Give me the ability to speak plainly, to give me the ability to speak your message in your words, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you give everybody ears to hear and a heart to understand. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, this scripture right here tells us, number one, that hope doesn't make us ashamed. And that's what we need in this world today with the things that are going on in the world around us. Some of us are worried about the things that are happening. We have loved ones that are possibly in the service or going to be going overseas, and we don't want anything to happen to them, right? We have to have hope. This word tells us that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And That was what my message was last week, and the message that I stumbled around and I messed up, and I know I did. But the message that I wanted everybody to get is there's power available through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to realize that power, we have to make Jesus Lord of our lives. And as long as we don't let him be Lord of our life, but we decide that we're going to be Lord of our own life, which is what all of us have done at times, right? Then that power is not going to manifest itself in us. All right, get off last week's message, get on to this week's, all right? What he tells us here, this is Paul that wrote this, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So here's the thing. It's not like we deserved any of this love, because we don't. Because for the most part, we live life for ourselves, especially before we allow Jesus into our heart for the salvation. But even more than that, if we don't make him Lord of our lives, then we're still living our lives for ourselves. And God has called us to a greater type of love. And Jesus has commanded that love, and I'm going to prove it to you through the scriptures today. He has called us to a different type of love because he wants us to be more like him, right? All right, so why is it that you think that God gave us this love anyway? Why does he love us so much that he would send his son down to redeem us, to buy us back with his death, with his blood, so that we can come back to God? Well, when in Sunday school this morning, I was telling everybody, if we're going to believe something, then we have to have something that bases that belief on. And if you have a belief in God, then you need to know why you believe what you believe. Now, a lot of people don't know. They just know that they come to church, they're told something, and they say, well, that's the way it is. And maybe it is, but maybe it's not, too. So we need to know why we believe what we believe. So if you ask me, why does God love us this month? I will tell you to go to Revelations 4:11. In Revelations 4:11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So God created all of us, right? Now, why did he create us? He created us for his pleasure. It says, for his pleasure we are, and everything will be created that is created. Every new life that comes in is created to bring God pleasure. And what does that mean? That means that God wants us to please him. How? By loving him. By returning the love that he has given to us, then we can be pleasing to God simply by loving him back and showing him that love through our actions. Jesus tells us what the great commandments are, and y'all, this is probably a scripture that most of you know anyway, but in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, some of the Pharisees were trying to trap him, as they did a lot, and they asked him this question, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment." So it's a commandment from God, because that's in the Old Testament law, that we should love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, and with all our soul. Now, for the most part, we don't understand what that means, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Thank you, ma'am. All right. And I'm not going to give you the answer to that today because that is another message all in itself. But let me just give you the Reader's Digest version of that. When it says we ask Jesus into our heart, that's the first place that love starts with us. And the love that comes within us has to go on through our mind and into our soul. And I could try to explain to you how that happens. But basically, our mind is what feeds our flesh. It either feeds our flesh or it feeds our spirit. And actually, it feeds both. Now, whichever one you feed the most is going to become stronger. And so if we feed our mind spiritual things, then we will become spiritually stronger. Now, how do we feed our mind spiritual things? There's only two ways of taking it in, through your ears and through your eyes. You, what you see and what you hear is what feeds your mind. And when we feed our mind spiritual things, then we become spiritually stronger. And when we become spiritually stronger, then that soul becomes something that is starting to love God with all of its soul. And our mind, it works the same way. When we start thinking about and looking at and listening to all these spiritual things, whether it's singing hymns and praising Him through hymns, or it's reading the Word of God, then all of that strengthens our mind also. And that allows us to be able to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. But it's work. It is, and it's a continual process that we have to do in order to do that. It doesn't just happen one time. We have to continually be feeding ourselves these spiritual things in order to stay in the place that we want to be in, because we want to be pleasing to God. And the thing of it is, we're not always. But the one thing that I know that God will honor is the intent of your heart. And if you want to be pleasing to God, and that's what you're attempting to do, even when you make mistakes, God still is going to honor the intent of your heart in that. All right, on to the next part of it here. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, let's talk about loving our neighbor as ourself. Most people in their right mind love their self. Now, there's some people that aren't in their right mind that don't love their self. I pray that everybody gets in the right mind and loves their self. But we should so show that same type of love to everybody that we meet through our actions. We should treat them with love and with respect. That's what God wants from us. God wants a relationship with us. Part of the thing of us pleasing Him is for us to develop a one-on-one relationship with God. And we do that by loving Him back. And when we love Him back, then we start acting in a way that is pleasing to God by showing Him love. And that is a relationship that we have with Him. Well, God wants all of us to have a relationship with each other also. And He wants us to show love to everybody around us. That's the two great commandments. Now listen to this last part of it. On these two commandments, this is verse number 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now what does that mean? The law and the prophets make up the entire Old Testament. That was the Bible at that time. That was all they had, was the Old Testament. In Jesus' time, the New Testament didn't exist yet. The New Testament is all more detail about Jesus Christ, even though the Old Testament is about Him also. But everything in the Bible is based off of love. Now, we don't get that all the time because we don't show people love with our action all the time. Any of you that drives more than an hour to work every day, you know what I mean right there. We don't show everybody love through our actions. The love that this is talking about right here, the love that God has for us, is an agape love. It's an unconditional love. And it is an action word. And it's not something that is touchy-feely type love. Now, don't get me wrong. If you show God love through your actions, then the love becomes a feeling also. But the part that what he wants us to do with everybody is show that love and then worry about the feeling part later on. Unconditional love means that we show people love regardless of how we feel towards them. Now, that's not easy. It's not. Especially if somebody... I'll just share this. And yesterday when I was at work, I had a young man that didn't understand the direction that I was trying to give him on the job. And when I tried to point out what I was trying to tell him, and as opposed to what he was actually doing, then he got pretty upset at me, and he started saying some unkind things about me and walked off the job. Now, if I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in me, then it would have been real easy for my flesh to well up and say some unkind things at him back, and maybe some other things would have taken place. But I've got the power of the Holy Spirit living within me. And I don't act the way I used to act when I got thrown out of the softball league down here for acting a fool. I don't act that way anymore. I'm a new creature. Now, when I got thrown out down there, I was saved. But I hadn't made Jesus Lord of my life yet. And so as a result, when things didn't go my way, I let people know that they weren't going my way in a not a very pleasant way. But anyway, after that young man left and I called, he called his boss and his boss called me. He asked me what he said and I told him what he said. And he said, so you want him out of there? And I said, no. I said, I don't. I said, but I'll leave that up to you. If you feel like you want him out, then that's fine. But I said, I can come to work with him Monday morning without any problems. He's young and he's immature and he lost his temper. I said, I can forgive that. I've been called a lot of names in my job over time because when I come into a factory, the purpose they bring me in there is to change things, and people don't like change. And when I try to change them, then sometimes I get called some names. And I'm fine with that. Because if I get called some names, for the most part, those people are passionate about their work. And that's what you want, is somebody that is passionate about their work. But getting back to the love of Christ, to me, if you knew me in my younger days, you know what would have happened if somebody had said those things to me. I guarantee you I would have said something back. I did not. You know, I told him, I said, it might be best if you just go on home, you know. And so he went home. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that I was talking about last week. That is the power that it talks about in the Holy Spirit here in verse number Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Love is what it is all about in the Bible. And we can make all of these other things. We can make it about you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to show, you know, if you love God, you're going to do these works. Well, everybody shows love in a different way. And for us to expect somebody to do the same type of work that we're doing, it's just not right. What we should expect them to do is show love through their actions. If they're showing love through their actions, then they're going to be doing some things that are going to be pleasing to God right off. The way that this commandment was written in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But Jesus takes it to a different level in John chapter 15, starting at verse number 9. When he says, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now, I already told you that the type of love that God has is an unconditional love, and that's the way that he loves his Son, and that's the way that Jesus loves us. It goes on in verse number 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here's the thing that I want you to understand about all of this in the Bible. And it should be about in the church too. People come into the church, for the most part, they have a problem when they come into the church, or they wouldn't be coming in to the church. Now, sometimes people are just moving to a different location and looking for a church, and that's one thing, but they're still looking for a church. But most people, when they come into the church and they don't know Jesus Christ, they've got problems and they're looking for some help. They're looking for some hope. And when they come in here, a lot of times what we will do is we will look at their life, and we will attempt to clean them up. We will tell them, well, you really don't need to be dressing the way that you're dressing. And I'll give you an example of this too. I've got a good friend of mine who loves the Lord, and he shows his love through his action by going and witnessing to people he doesn't even know. Somebody told him that their brother was on their deathbed up in Indianapolis, and he came to me. He was working for me at the time. And he asked me, he said, can I take the afternoon off? And I said, sure, what's up? And he said, I'm going up to Indianapolis. And I said, what for? And he said, I've got a witness to somebody on their deathbed. And I said, do you know him? And he said, never seen him before in my life, but God's told me that I have to do this. So he drove 4 hours, whatever it is, up to Indianapolis and shared the gospel with this individual that he didn't even know. And not only did that guy who had cancer get healed of his cancer, but he also gave his heart to God at the same time. And I'm going to tell you what, he loves the Lord. But he told me one time when he was sitting at his church down in Bowling Green, and there was a man that came in and sat close to the front of the church, and he had a Pabst Blue Ribbon cap on. And he said, number one, he said, that man didn't need to be wearing a hat in the church. He said, but he sure didn't need to be wearing a hat advertising beer in the church. So he said, I made up my mind I was going to go up there and ask him to take his hat off. And he said, it was like the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you just need to do your job and let me do mine. And because the Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to be convicting us. We're nobody's Holy Spirit, right? It's not my job to convict you of the things that you're doing wrong. It's the Holy Spirit. And he said he sat there, but he said it was just aggravating him. And after church, he went up and he shook hands with the guy and he asked him how he was doing. He said, well, tell you the truth, he said, I'm doing pretty good now. He said, I came in here with a chip on my shoulder. And he said, I was expecting somebody to come up and tell me to take that hat off. And he said, if they had, he said, I was going to let them have it. And he said, but they didn't. And he said, God spoke to me. And he said, I want to give my life to God right now. And he said, that's how the Holy Spirit works in our life. If we show people love instead of trying to be the Holy Spirit and trying to clean them up, God's got it, right? Do we really believe that God's got it? Because he does. Jesus has taken us to a different level, though. He's telling us that we're supposed to be keeping his commandments in order for us to abide in love. Now, that word abide means to stay. It literally means to live in that love. And I'll tell you right now, I want to live in the love of Jesus Christ. I do. I don't want to be living in the world. I want to have that love of Christ that I am in all the time, that I feel all the time, that gives me comfort, gives me joy, gives me peace. That's what this scripture says. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, in verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I tell everybody that all I want to do is have the peace of God in my life, and along with that comes the joy of the Lord. I just want to be able to sit in the peace of God. I don't want to have all of these trials and tribulations. Now, I know I'm going to have some. But the thing of it is, if you've got the peace of God, if you're abiding in the joy and the love of God, then he will give you the peace to take you through these trials and these tribulations. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have. Verse number 12 says, this is my commandment. This is the commandment that Jesus gives us. He says, that ye love one another, not as thyself. He says, that you love one another as I have loved you. He goes on to, you say, well, how does he love us? Well, he'll explain it to you here in verse 13. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So what is it that Jesus wants from us in order to be his friends? He wants us to love other people. But he wants us to do it in the unconditional way, which means that we have to give our life. Now, that doesn't mean that we give our life like Christ did, where he died for us. But instead, what we're supposed to do each and every day is crucify our flesh and give up the things that we desire so we can help give other people what they need. Now, you see the difference. We have a lot of desires, but for the most part, our needs are met, right? Now, we have a lot of desires of things we would like to see and what we'd like to have happen. Truth of the matter is, some of the desires that you're wanting, you would get if you would give up your life and help the other people, then the desires of your heart are going to come true. That's what the Word tells us, right? Thing of it is, once you get to that point, the desires of your heart are spiritual desires then. And it's not the worldly desires. Loving like that is a high mark to have. It is. And I'll tell you, I have been able to exhibit that type of love to other people before, and then I can go and speak to somebody and talk to somebody because somebody asked me to, and I can have this joy unspeakable that comes upon me just because I'm showing them love through my actions, and I can get in my car and somebody cut me off, and that joy goes right out the window. It does. Simply because of that, because of something as little as that. where I'm at with that, and maybe some of you will disagree with me, God is all about the intent of our heart. And God knows that I want to do what is right. God knows that I want to show people love. God also knows that I'm not always going to be able to do it. So what does that mean? That means He gives us blessings based upon the intent of our heart and what's actually in our heart, and not so much about the actions, what we actually do. Because what He does is the Holy Spirit works through us and convicts us of those actions, and it's then forgotten. Once a conviction, and once we repent of it, and by repent, what that means is that in our heart we know we don't ever want to do that again, even though sometime we probably will do it again, especially when it comes to driving. I've got a little bit of road rage in me, and maybe you all don't, but I do. I know I do. But I'm a work in progress, just like everybody else is. So I want to talk about hope now, because I want you to see where the hope comes from in that scripture in Matthew where Jesus gives us the commandments. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now, why does that bring us hope? Because Jesus is not starting with our love, but He is coming from a place that God has already shown you unconditional love, and all He's trying to do is get us to reciprocate, to give other people that unconditional love that's already been given to us. He's starting from a place of where God has showed His love to us, and the command to love is actually an invitation to respond to the love that is already pursuing your heart and soul. And that's the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God. When your life feels unstable, God's love is not unstable. God's love is something that is always sure, it is always there. When you feel empty, God's love fills us up. It does. We just have to accept the love. When you feel unworthy, God's love doesn't condemn us. You know, and man will. Man will. Your brothers and sisters in Christ will. But God doesn't. God doesn't. Bible I read says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? He's not condemning. He's forgiving. He's redeeming. The thing that we need to understand when God asks for all of your heart is because He's already given all of His heart to us. The second scripture says you shall love your neighbor, or the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This brings us hope because Jesus is starting to tie our healing, if you will, to relationships. Number one, our healing is tied to the relationship with God, right? But God also wants us to have relationships like this with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we have these relationships with each other, then if we start having issues, then we know people that are going to be praying for us. And you know how I know? It's because I'm on a text message with the men in church, and that thing will buzz, 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 buzz all day long with people that are praying. Now, sometimes it can be aggravating. But when you're the one that needs that prayer, it's giving you hope. And it's giving you peace. And it's giving you joy because you know that the men in this church are lifting you up at that time. And they're setting their life aside while they're doing it. Love should not be a burden. It should be a way for us to feel the hope. When we love others, when we show our love to others, and it doesn't mean coming up and say, "Oh, I love you, brother," you know, and then if that brother needs some food or whatever, we pat him on the back and say, "I love you, brother, go on your way." What we should be doing is showing our love through the actions by helping them out with their needs, right? We do that once a month here in the community by being a part of the food distribution with the Grayson County Alliance. And we show our love by taking our time out and coming up here and handing out food for people that need it, and also prayers and love, and showing them love. When we love others, we become a living reminder that God has not abandoned this world, but God loves this world. Every act of kindness that we have becomes a seed of hope in other people's lives. Every act of kindness. If it's just enough of typing prayers on a text and sending it back out, but it's really praying when you do that, then that's an act of kindness to other people. If it's just picking up the phone and giving them a call and checking on somebody and see how they're feeling, if you know that they're going through a difficult time, that's an act of kindness. Sharing a meal, that's an act of kindness. Just sitting down and listening to somebody when they're having a difficult time too. Because here's the thing. We don't have to fix anybody's problem. We don't have to fix our own problems. We just have to trust that the love of God will fix these problems that we've got. Because truthfully, we're not in charge. We're not in control. God is. And it's become a joke over in the men's group about the fact that the men over there, because I have voiced this, when we sing a song in here, "I'm fighting the battle you've already won." And I say, "I don't understand that. Why are we fighting? If God has already won, why are we fighting that battle?" And they try to tell me, "Oh, it's just a representation of this, you know." And I'm like, "I don't understand. Why do we feel like we have to fight? When it tells us to put on the armor of God, that gives us one weapon that we can fight back with, which is the sword, which is the word of God. But it doesn't say for us to be swinging that sword of everybody that comes around. What it says, once you get that honor on, that armor on, is to stand. Just stand. Why is that? Let me just tell you. I've been asked to go visit several people. I won't say a lot of people, because some people have visited thousands. But I've been asked to go visit several people. And every time that I have gone to visit somebody, just because somebody else asked me to, all I've had to do is go there and show up and stand on the Word of God and watch God work miracles. Because He will. What He wants is He wants us to just come and be a part of it. So why? So we can come back and we can share our testimony of what we saw God do. But I don't have to go do it. I just have to go. Right? When He says go, if we go, He's taking care of it already. Right? So we're not fighting a battle He's already won. We're just going in and being a witness to it. You know, when Jesus comes back with all of His saints, and it's going to be a, a huge army when he comes back, all of those saints are just along for the ride. Because it says that God wins the battle with his word, which is that sword. And all of the saints that are behind him are just back there as cheerleaders. Yeah, go get them, Jesus, yeah. All right, the last part of this, when Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, this should bring us hope. Now, why does this bring us hope? Because everything that God has said, every promise, every command, every prophecy, rests on his love for who? For us. Everything that he said in that word rests on his love for us. This means that the entire story of the scripture is a story of God bringing his people to his love. Yeah, I'm done. It's a little bit after 11. I don't want to wear out my welcome. Jenny, can you come on up? Let me just tell you this. If your life feels complicated, the love of Christ can simplify it. If you need encouragement, turn to Christ for his love. You don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to fix everything. You don't need to fix anything. You just need to stay rooted in love, and God will take care of the rest. If you've got a problem in your home, in your marriage, listen to God. Rest on his love and his promises and his word. And you will have hope. And let me just tell you this. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is not a wish of something that will happen. Hope is a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Let's pray real quick before they get into this song, or you can keep playing while they're doing it. But Lord, I just pray right now that you're going to teach us to love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, Lord. That you're going to fill us with your love so deeply that it's going to overflow into every relationship that we have. And I pray, Lord, that you let hope rise in us, that hope flow through us, and that our hope goes to everybody, and everybody recognizes that it's coming from you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.